interview with Jose Anguera, A-N-G-U-E-I-R-A, Miami, Florida, May 23rd, 1974.
Younger generation of Cubans in the United States.
Can you tell us a little bit about your background?
Yeah, I was born in Havana 43 years ago, and when I was 15 years old, I was educated in a private school down there, Catholic school. And when I was 15 years old, my parents shipped me up to Canada for 3 years. I graduated from high school in Canada. Then in 48, I went back to the University of Havana, and I graduated from the law school of the University of Havana. In 52, I joined the American Embassy and as an employee. I worked for 8 years there until 1960. In 60, things were getting too pinkish for me. So I migrated, came over to the United States, and I've been here since 1960, 14 years running now. In 60, I couldn't find any job down here. Things were rough, and I had to go up to Washington. I worked for the State Department for 4 years as an escort interpreter. And then in 66, I said the hell with it. I got tired of traveling all over the country and what have you, being away from home 10 months out of the year. So I said, I'm going back to Miami. My father and mother were down here. And I came back to Miami, went into the University of Miami, got my master's, and started getting my PhD. And then just about that time, there was an opening at Miami-Dade Community College, a brand new college. I applied, got the job as an instructor. And I've been there now 8 years.
And you're teaching what?
American government and international relations. Those are my fields. And this last year, something new opened up. The Supreme Court of Florida waived the requirements that it had especially for Cuban lawyers. And it allowed the Cuban attorneys to go back to school through a retraining program, which is 60 credits in the law school, 21 months. And then to be able to apply for admission to the bar, of course, after passing the entrance exams. So I'm involved with that course. I'm going back to school tonight now, my second semester. And I hope to be finished by September of next year. And after that, I don't know. I don't know whether I'll remain in teaching or going to private practice. I think I'm veering at the present time more in the direction of private practice because I have political ambitions. And more than that, I have a political responsibility. And to my community. And so I plan to get involved in politics and probably run for office. I don't know what office. I don't know whether I will run. In other words, I may decide that there are better candidates than I am and consequently support him. But I will be involved in local politics one way or the other. When I am involved now, although it's a low-profile type of thing because I don't want to get myself in a situation where I may become too conflicting while I'm teaching at the college.
Now, you're also working for a publication, right? Part-time.
I'm also working. I'm also not working, in reality. I'm writing for the largest Spanish-speaking newspaper.
Okay, and what are you writing, a column?
Editorials, a column, basically feature articles, whatever I feel like writing, political, non-political, cultural, social.
Where do you characterize yourself politically?
Middle of the road. I'm not as conservative as most Cubans are. I'm not as liberal as most northerners would be or reputedly would be.
You're a Democrat?
I'm a Democrat. I'm a registered Democrat, right? So there, again, you know, the so-called myth, you know, of all Cubans being Republicans and so forth, I can tell you right off the bat that this is not true.
So you're a minority within a minority?
To some extent, yes. I think the toma, arroz y frijoles.
Have you seen any figures on registration insofar as Cubans are concerned?
Not exact figures.
What's the best guess at this time?
I'd say somewhere in the vicinity between 40 and 60,000 registered Cubans.
How are they registered?
At the present time, there is a propensity to register, I wouldn't say excessively in favor of the Republican Party, but I would say contrary to what the state is. In other words, that if you press me, I would say that the estimate is somewhere in the vicinity of 3 to 2, 3 to 1.5.
Someone told us that until a few years ago that Cubans were registering in Miami about 85% Republican, but in the last year or so it's dropped to about 60% registration.
I think that's probably true. That is probably true.
Do you see that trend away from the Republican Party continuing or leveling off?
No, I think it's highly dependent on how the Democratic Party statewide reacts, and primarily locally. It depends on what type of entree, what type of support we get from the Democratic Party. Like if I were running for office, for example, if I wanted to run for the Republican Party tomorrow, I would have no opposition whatsoever. And I can tell you this as a fact because they've called me and they said, we want you to run, we will back you to the hilt, you'll have no opposition whatsoever in the primary. And that takes a big load off any kind of edge mind, knowing that all you have to do is make it in November, and that's it. As far as the Democratic Party is concerned, it hasn't been the same type of reception. Now, I'm not saying that we're entitled to that. I'm just saying that it is good politics in order to be able to turn the tide around a little bit. Because of the Republican Party, which was rather weak locally in terms of registration, is open as far as the Cubans are concerned. The vice chairman of the Republican Party locally is a Cuban.
That Cuban registration in the Republican Party is solely due to the Bay of Pigs?
You see, to understand the Cuban process and their involvement in American politics, you have to go back to our initial coming over. And when we came over, most of us were concerned with what was happening in Cuba. In other words, we reacted in terms of politics, not in the area of local politics, statewide, but primarily in the area of national politics and only within the context of foreign policy. And particularly within the context of foreign policy as it affected Cuba. So if you had a national administration, if you had an administration in Washington that was favorable to the Cubans, to helping the Cubans get back to the homeland and so forth, this type of administration, needless to say, generated an awful lot of sympathy at the local level, regardless of whether it was a rotten administration. And I think that would help you to understand the type of support that Nixon has locally. Because they have reacted primarily in terms of the fact that Nixon is the type of individual that, so far, hasn't been willing to compromise with Castro, to reach an agreement with Castro, and so forth. That's the way that most of our people have reacted to in the last 10 or 12 years. Now, that is changing, because people are still concerned as to what policy the national government would institute regarding Cuba. I think that overwhelmingly the population here is opposed to any type of rapprochement with Castro. But there is a movement among the leadership of the community which indicates that they're concerned not only what is happening in Cuba, but also they're concerned with what is happening here in Dade County, what is happening statewide, what is happening in the United States, nationally, in areas other than foreign policy.
Is there still really a fundamental hope among at least the first generation Cubans who came over that they'll be able to go back?
Yeah, I think that it's still there. In many cases, it's more theoretical than real.
But it's still a real perception.
Yes, it is.
What about the second generation, those young people coming up now?
They view the situation in an entirely different light. They still, for example, pray for a free Cuba. But I don't think that, in other words, the affiliation to the idea of returning and the idea of come hello high water and I'm going back to Cuba diminishes or decreases in direct proportion to the age brackets. And that's understandable. My children, for example, I mean, I got a couple of kids who were born in Cuba and were brought over when they were 4 and 5. Now they're 19 and 20. I cannot expect my children to feel for Cuba the same way I do, because they lack that type of experience. Place yourself in a situation where you had children who were 20 years old. Could they feel for Texas the same way you do if they were brought up in New York? Not by a long shot.
My parents came over from the Netherlands, so I know a little bit about that.
So that's so
is this one of the reasons that it's difficult to get them to register to vote?
It is not difficult to get them to register to vote. I don't know. There is an awful lot of myth in it.
We're just testing them all out.
Yeah. To some extent, it's created by elements in the community who have hold of the power, of the establishment now, and don't want to let go of power. In other words, there are a number of individuals here locally that would try to do their utmost to discourage the Cubans from participating. One is because, let's face it, we're liked by some people, we're not liked by everybody. But welcome to the club, then. That is true of every other group in the United States. Number two, they see, and this is a fact, the Cuban community as a potential power block. Election time. I mean, if as the days go by, you see the number of Cubans becoming American citizens. And I can tell you for a fact that one of the first things that they do after becoming American citizens is to go out and register. Now, they're having difficulty in some areas with registration because they learn enough English. Tommy's a boy and Mary's a girl to make it through the citizenship proceedings, you know, the naturalization proceedings. But they don't have enough English, for example, to walk up on their own to the supervisor of elections office and say, here is what I want to do, and so on and so on, and register to vote. And it's not that they are being refused, as the blacks were in certain sections of the South because of literacy requirements or what have you. That's not true. In other words, if a Cuban American walks up to the supervisor of elections, he'll get registered. But it is a question of not being able to not having enough English to be able to go up there and answer the questions properly, and to some extent, they feel somewhat constrained, inhibited, as far as as registration is concerned. However, the fact is, especially among the younger generation, that the first step that they take after they become registered is in the direction of, after they become citizens, is in the direction of becoming registered. My daughter, let me give you the example of my daughter Maggie. She was 15, 14, no, she was less than that, younger than that, when we became citizens, and she became a citizen by declaration. Recently, she would turn 18. I didn't have to tell her to go and register. She's already a registered voter, and she raised a Democrat, and I didn't tell her to raise a Democrat. I had nothing to do with it whatsoever. She went on her own. And the kids that I have in my classes, that I talk to and so forth, number one, have a much more, a less conservative perspective than the older generation among the Cubans. Number two, they're much more energetic, much more freewheeling and open-minded in terms of doing what they feel they have to do. Number three, they're registering right and left, because I check it out in my classes. I've been registered to vote, and you'll find that the percentage of registration among the 18-year-olds, for example, in my classes is higher among the Cubans than it is among the American Native Americans. Now, what happens is, once again, that there are some people who can see this coming. A community where 30% of the community happens to be Spanish-speaking. And out of that 30%, you might say 27% is, or 90% out of that 30% is of Cuban extraction.
Are you talking about the city of Miami?
I'm talking about Dade County.
Dade County.
We have, the census comes up with a figure of 217,000, somewhere along that line, which is entirely erroneous. Here in the Dade County, we have somewhere in the vicinity of 350,000 to 400,000 Spanish-speaking people. And out of that total, about 87 to 90% are of Cuban extraction, freezing Cuban migration. Now, as the time goes by, they have a propensity to become American citizens. Now, this will not happen in terms of my parents. My father is 72, my mother is 65. They made some money over here. They've been working hard. They had a restaurant. They ran a restaurant. And some of their best clients were Native Americans because they provided service. And they got along. But they haven't got enough English. I have a hunch that if they went for naturalization proceedings, they would probably get by out of sheer sympathy. But they are inhibited from doing that. Now, my parents, in all probability, will not become American citizens. In all probability, they will not register. My mother-in-law, the same type of thing, the older generation. But there are an awful lot of young Cubans that are coming up and getting married and setting themselves up in business and what have you and so on and having children. And theirs is the way of the future. Theirs, the future of the county, lies in that particular area. Now, some local politicians have understood that, have witnessed that. Just watching, for example, the experience in other areas. And I'm talking about Native American politicians. So needless to say, they begin to accept the fact that this is a bicultural, triethnic community. Some of them have gone as far as taking Spanish lessons so that they can, if not speak Spanish fluently, at least be able to say good morning or gracias. All right? And that gets you votes. Others, on the other hand, are wishing, you know, that Castro would be overthrown tomorrow so that all 400,000 of us could be packed into an airplane, shipped back to Cuba. I've got news for them.
I speculated about that for one. If there were a coup d'etat or something and Castro was gone tomorrow, how many people would go back?
I don't know. I have no way of determining that.
If the white politician is the, you know, the establishment politician looking at the human community and he perceives it that way, then why should he care about having a relationship with them?
Well, not all politicians.
Or vice versa. Why, if the Cubans are more oriented towards Cuba?
Not all politicians are intelligent people. All right? Let's start from that point. There are some who have.
We will accept that.
we'll accept it as a given.
There are some who have some perspective of the future. They've had it in Boston, and this is where the guys, you know, weren't Irish or anything like that, but they saw what was coming and just sort of moved over a little bit. Gave some elbow room to the guy next door. And, you know, like all migrations before, after a while you get to consider the guy one of you. You no longer think in terms of, you know, what my ethnic background is and so forth, whether I came from France or Cuba or what have you. All right? But there are others who don't take that type of position. And they're going to get steamrolled by history. Hell, if a guy like George Wallace can, in the period of 10 years, change his mind, if not inwardly, at least externally, as to be able to get along with Johnny Ford, you know, and have him in his office and sort of gloss over some of the strong Dixie last-ditch stand that he showed in the 1960s. If he's capable of doing that, I think the local politicians could go along with some of the lessons, you know, learn something from.
So you see it as a very slow process, though. As the younger people come up, they'll register, and you'll see. But nothing's going to happen overnight to change the power of the Cuban.
No, I don't think.
Are there many are there any Cuban registrars and people at the election commission? Are they bilingual at the election commission? Who controls the election commission?
Party. The county commission.
Who is that, Republicans or Democrats?
No, Democrats.
So why don't they put...
And there isn't a single Cuban on the county commission. And there won't be a single Cuban in the county commission until we get enough power over here to get one elected, to get in there and be abrasive and flippant like I am, and tell the other six commissioners or seven commissioners where the hell they can get off. And to begin to make waves. Because that's the only language these politicians will understand.
When is this coming?
I think it's going to begin to happen in 76. I don't think that there will be a cataclysmic change. But I think by 76 we will have enough power, if we have intelligent politicians who can play coalition politics locally, to be able to get somebody in the county commission.
The county commission is the governing body of Dade County.
Dade County, right.
Are they elected by areas or countywide?
No, countywide. That's why I tell you that you have to play coalition politics if you want to get elected.
That was my next question. You see coalition politics developing in the next 5 or 10 years?
I don't see it now.
Why?
Oh. It's not happening now. I see it if we get enough people. And I've already moved in that direction, and there are others who are moving in that direction. For example, working with the blacks. And developing a Jewish, black, Cuban coalition.
Do you see that coming?
If we get the type of leadership that we need in the community, I think this is a possibility. It has already happened in the direction...
Comverde. Para comverde pan, para usted con maduro.
Exacto. Está bien. Okay, magnífico. The black beans have come. That's a smorgasbord, as you can see.
I can see.
I hope you
like it. You won't be able to walk on the airplane.
Oh, yes, he will. He'll be all right. That's light. That's not too bad. If you have more time, I could really treat you to something, you know.
We'll take you up on that.
Okay, next time. That is happening to some extent.
Is the leadership there right now to develop coalitions between the blacks?
No, it's in the making.
Let me ask you this. Within each of those communities, is leadership developing representing the communities, or is it fragmented?
It's fragmented.
Let's speak just about the Cuban community, part of the triangle. How near is the leadership and the willingness to follow?
Well,
for that type of coalition, presuming the other two ends of the parts of the triangle are willing.
That's not happening as yet, because again, we're still in the last stage of the shedding of the old type of political philosophy, where everything was viewed in terms of what is happening in Cuba.
Okay, let me ask you another question that we haven't gotten to. It would be one of the obvious questions, and that is, you know, what is the effect of Watergate on the Cuban community in Miami?
We haven't been affected at all. Our position is that these guys were fooled or were led into believing, you know, that they were performing a service for the government of the United States, and they did so, all right? Now, if stupidity is a crime, they should be,
excuse me.
If stupidity is a crime, they should be sent to jail.
Is there any feeling they were taken advantage of?
Yes, that's a general feeling in the community.
Okay.
That they were being played by suckers, for suckers. And President Nixon's statement regarding the jackasses.
De nada.
Regarding the jackasses and all of that didn't help. It reaffirmed the belief that we had. But we don't hold them guilty. You know, I mean, Watergate...
Not them, but I'm talking about what is the effect on the Republican Party of that?
I don't think it's going to have much effect on the Cuban community as far as the Republican Party is concerned. I don't think so, not locally. Let me give you one example. The Democrats, we had an election here recently. The Democrats ran a strong candidate, rather liberal one, Mrs. Light, for the state legislature. The Republicans had ran a young fellow. He had no opposition in the primary. Okay. The Republicans had no opposition in the primary. He went to the general election to win. He beat the Democrat. Even though there is a majority of registered Democrats in the district, this is this area here. So as far as Watergate is concerned, this is about the time that they were losing their elections up in Michigan and in Ohio, the one in Cincinnati. Down here, not a ripple. We view Watergate here, at least in our community, in somewhat of a different light, you know. It's not the major crime to the Cuban community. It's not the major crime that newspapers have made it out to be, as far as we're concerned. It's dirty politics, it's this, that, the other thing. But I'm sure there are other shenanigans going on at the present time in the government that we don't hear about, which certainly would be worse than Watergate. And I'm not taking anything from Watergate. I think it's detestable that we have to engage in that type of politics. But as far as the reaction to the community is concerned, it's not a capital crime as far as we're concerned, as far as our community. That's the way I sense it.
Does it weaken the Republican position at all from the standpoint of the feeling that the Cubans who were involved were taken advantage of?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I haven't seen any evidence of that.
What is the attraction of the Democrats in the Cuban population here? Why should they be Democrats?
The Democratic Party is doing nothing in terms of appealing to the Cuban community. With the exception of Lou de la Parte, whom you met in Tallahassee, the Democratic Party, perhaps Dick Stone, who comes from this area, is bilingual and speaks Spanish, you know, and he's a very good friend of the Cubans. But aside from that, the Democratic Party, though it has the control of the state government, has not shown any interest in terms of getting involved here and really promoting good candidates, you know, and making a...
Well, that goes back to my original point. Maybe they see the Cubans as a transient group. I mean, if the Cubans see themselves that way, why shouldn't the politicians see themselves that way?
Well, if they see the Cubans that way, it seems to me they're somewhat nearsighted. And I told the governor that about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And I told Lou that too. Because I don't see the prospect of an immediate overthrow of Castro. In fact, I don't see it within the next couple of years. I'd like it to happen, but it isn't going to come about through my wishing. And that means that at least for the next couple of years, you're going to have Cubans here. Now, if the process, and I think you would agree with me, is longer than that, and you got a group of people here who are becoming American citizens, that's a group of people that you have to take into account, because they might upset the balance of power as far as southern politics in southern Florida.
The Democrats aren't doing anything. Are the Republicans doing anything?
Yes.
What are they doing?
Number one, they're doing their darnest to project the image to the older generation that the Republican Party is against any type of compromise with communist Cuba. Which I know for the fact is a lot of hogwash, because that's an awful lot of hot talk. But a party that has gone to Moscow, a party that has gone to China, will have no compunctions whatsoever about going to Cuba and reaching a political agreement. But that's the way it comes through, and that's the way people believe it. And you hear the arguments from the rank and file, the average Cuban, telling you that Nixon is an honest man, that Nixon will not renege on his word, that an agreement with Cuba would not be reached. So you handle that problem. Number two, they do have the control at the national level. They do have programs at the national level, and the Republican Party steers certain programs from the national administration, from Washington, in the direction of the local community. Funds, for example. When last year they had some extra funds, previous year, they had some extra funds, President of the United States made some end-of-the-year presidential award grants to communities throughout the United States. And out of that, $500,000 were earmarked for the state of Florida. Tampa got part of a program at the Hillsborough College. We got two programs down here, one for the Puerto Rican community, one for the Cuban community. That pays off. The program was continued. Aside from that, HEW has provided all kinds of assistance to the community. And you know how it is.
How about the state party? Have they done anything?
What did you tell the governor? Now, what were the circumstances? I mean, in Tallahassee or here?
Mm-mm. Up in Tallahassee, I'm a member of a group which is called the Hispanic American Council of Florida. We're not a political group, we're a civic group. But we're concerned with the problems of the community, and we want to do the best possible for our community. And we went up there, and we told the governor some of the problems that we had, where we needed assistance. For example, the third largest source of income from an agricultural point of view locally are the Cuban vegetables, which are grown locally. Those we brought from Cuba with us, and they're grown locally in order to supply our community. There isn't a single research program in the state of Florida funded by the state of Florida for purposes of improving the qualities and the varieties of the vegetables that we're growing locally, even though they're making money on it. Everything is tomatoes and limas and so forth. Well, hell, I'm not against tomatoes, and I'm not against lima beans. But I do think that the state has neglected to take care of this, which is an important source of income to everybody throughout the state, not only the Cubans, but also the Americans, because if that type of crop is not grown locally, we're going to have to import it from the Dominican Republic and from Central America. And the governor agreed with me. When we made that type of presentation, he said, yeah, I'll bring this to the attention of the people in the agriculture, the Department of Agriculture. But this is 14 years. Hell, they should have done something about it a long time before, already started to work on something like that. It's a receptivity, an attitude which you find that the Republicans have. Anything happening in the Cuban community, they get there the fastest with the mostest. As far as the Democrats are concerned, we don't have to go to Washington, okay, because they're power right now, but at least as far as the state is concerned, there should be a greater receptivity on the part of the state to come down and help the community. What do you need? How can we help you with? And there are other examples that I can give you.
Has Askew ever come down to Miami to meet with Cuban leadership?
Very sparingly. He may have done that. I attended, for example, the dinner of the Democratic Spanish-speaking caucus. And he came down, and he talked to us, and how great you Cubans are, and what you've done, and that type of thing. But that doesn't translate. I mean, we want action, not just words. We don't want you to come down and tell us that you are our friend. We want you to come down and prove that you are our friend. And that's what we're asking for. See, it's a psychological type of thing, because many Cubans, when we came over, many of us came over and with the epithet of refugees. You wouldn't talk, or you wouldn't say Cuban without saying refugee. And that, to some extent, has inhibited some of our people from coming out and demanding what is rightfully theirs. No, you're a refugee. You've been accepted in this country. You should be thankful that the United States is taking you in. Don't rock the boat! Every morning you get up in the morning, you salute the flag and you say, thank you. Believe you me, I do that. But hell, after I get through with that exercise, I want my piece of the pie, because I'm paying taxes. And I'm contributing to this society. And if you get a share, I get a share. And I'm one of those who believe, you know, that neither the Constitution nor the laws of this country give to the Native Americans, in terms of naturalized Americans, any better rights simply because their ancestors happen to roll a little bit faster to the shores. As far as I'm concerned, your ancestors got here a little bit sooner than mine did. So what? I don't judge your citizenship and your right to this society on the basis of what they contributed, but what we are going to contribute together.
Can I try some Cuban coffee?
Mm-hmm.
You like your Cuban coffee?
Yeah, I like it.
Right. My strong.
What? I'm going to try it.
Okay.
You said the leadership in the Cuban